Hi, I'm Reverend Zach.
I'm Francis.
And welcome to This Movie Was a Hot Dog, a podcast where me and my brother, Francis over here, watch a bad movie critically, financially, or otherwise. Then we review it, break it down, and tell you what we think. And we are in the middle of our end of summer celebration. Because it is the end of summer and everyone is going back to school, we're watching films that for many encapsulate that feeling of freedom and summer fun. We are now watching the foregone genre of the 80s and 90s kind of boob comedy. Films that were made for, under 1 week for just to be put on basic cable to an audience of mostly 12 to 16 year olds.
And apparently also we've chose two Canadian movies now.
Well, it's funny because if you type in like this genre into the place we watched these movies, like it's the same three that pop up.
Oh, what's the other one?
Screwballs 2.
Oh, geez, so
last week we watched 1983's Canadian boob comedy Screwballs, and this week we watched a completely different film. We watched 1984's Canadian boob comedy Oddballs, and this movie has a lot in common with that movie.
Less boobs.
Yeah, but it's still enough that I'd consider it one.
Yeah, and a lot of illegal activity.
Oh, yeah, like getting kids drunk and showing them porno films.
Man, and of course, we'll get into it. I don't want to go too far in. We don't want to ruin the plot out of
order. This film did have more than double the budget of, or no, a little bit more of the budget, not double, just a little bit more of Screwballs. This one cost $700,000. Also, it's just Canadian money, so I don't know what that translates into.
Oh, is it Canadian dollars? Is that what?
700,000 loonies.
Oh, and then back then, the U.S. dollar was more, so who knows what?
Yeah, so it's probably like $150.
Because and I didn't even know it was a Canadian movie until, again, the aboot.
You started hearing all the aboots and the about.
Sorry,
sorry,
so sorry.
Well, one of the main characters didn't throw you for a loop right away.
Oh, Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we'll get to him. So this movie is directed by somebody you've never heard of and stars people you don't know.
No future stars here.
I do love the plot keywords that people search on IMDb for this movie.
Oh, what are they?
Boy, just the word boy.
Uh-huh.
Summer camp, I'll give you that one.
Yep.
Pretending to be dead. I was like,
what?
Groucho Marx impersonation.
Okay.
Which is like such a tiny part of this movie. Why is that a key search
term? It must
term?
Be some part. You know, like sometimes you see movies when you're a kid and like only one like little part just sort of sticks in your mind. It happens with video games too.
That's true, but of all of the things that could stick out for me in this movie, I would not have picked that one. I would pick maybe the dinosaur or the alien.
Mine was the alligator shirt.
Oh, God. Anyway, those are the key words. So this movie opens in the most bizarre way I've ever seen a movie open. Like, I think I can officially say that this movie started, and within 30 seconds, I was like, what is this exactly?
Yeah, I was a little thrown off. This is the school bus scene?
No, before the school bus scene, where it's a cartoon.
Really? I must have missed that part.
It starts with a cartoon of an Indiana Jones-type character running from a giant yellow ball. This cartoon runs down a hill from the ball and falls into weeds. And then the cartoon turns into a real person standing on the side of a road who gets up in fear and then is hit by a bus.
Well,
what?
Yeah.
What?
I guess there's two videos of it on YouTube. That part was cut out.
You probably just skipped that part.
Or I must have missed when I hit it and hit forward. But anyways.
I'm sure, because that is the first thing in the movie. That's where the credits start.
Oh, man.
Because the title of the movie, Oddballs, comes up in that cartoon scene. So it wasn't cut.
Oh.
You probably just were like, oh, whatever, skipping this shit.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was the intro maybe and just like went to the actual movie.
Nope, it's a cartoon man that turns into a real man, gets hit by a bus, dies, and then we never see him again.
And this will be its tone setter for the rest of the film, where
nothing
makes sense from one thing to the next.
I had no idea that that was going to set the tone of the movie, because I saw that and I was like, well, that was weird. Maybe that's just a thing we tried.
Like a ha-ha, maybe, you know, like a funny moment and then just...
Nope, that's like, what, 55% of this movie?
Yeah, and every scene makes no sense and doesn't carry on at all. It makes no advancement to the plot whatsoever.
So the bus that hit and killed Indiana Jones is the camp bus driving all the kids to camp. And similar to Screwballs, where we would watch, like, the cafeteria, and it would just be absolute madness, this bus is just madness.
Yeah, the kids are, like, hanging out of the windows, like, basically almost to their legs, and I'm like...
There aren't even seats on the bus.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, kids are all over the place doing whatever, it's just this lawless place where children can run free.
And yeah, and then of course we get to meet some of the main characters right away.
Well, yeah, we meet the three main children characters,
because
this is a summer camp movie / boob comedy, so we got to meet our three kids. And we've got, you know, your classic stereotypes that you'd have in a Canadian boob comedy. You got the fat kid, you got the new kid, who this is his first summer, and you've got the... beret-wearing, French-Canadian-speaking black kid? What?
I mean, I guess it happens.
But, I mean...
Yeah, I mean...
But, okay. I'm sure it happens. But does it really happen, though?
Not as much. I mean, not very often.
I mean, it's like...
It would have made it better if he was a hockey player, too.
Well, I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay. So, unlike the other movie, like, this one is set in Canada?
Oh, is it?
So,
did they actually... I didn't realize they had said that.
Well, it's not... One, there's the French-Canadian-speaking black kid. So that was kind of a dead giveaway.
I didn't know if they had sent him down to America for a special camp.
But also, unlike in Screwballs, they never, like... They don't try to finger down your throat, like, hey, we're in the good old U.S. of A. Like, they never say, hey, we're in Idaho or whatever.
Okay.
They just... They say a boot, they say sorry, and they got a French-Canadian. This is set in Canada.
Yeah, I'll buy it.
So, they say the camp is under new management because the old manager lost the camp in a card game, and they're just, like, introducing each other and explaining the camp. The sound mixing, by the way, in this movie is terrible.
You cannot hear the actors at
all.
Yeah.
When music is playing, it's at the same volume as the people who are talking, so it's impossible to tell, like, what's a song lyric and... who's speaking and what they're saying.
And then not even that the same volume, just the quality of the voices is like scratchy.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's just odd. I don't oddball.
So cut to the new owner, who is a drunk, spinning a loaded revolver around. He fires it into the air. A witch falls out of the sky, like a wart faced, green skinned, riding a broom witch. That he shot with a gun. Huh?
Again, so remember the first part with Indiana Jones, and then this happens, so our way.
Okay, this sets up one of two running gags throughout the whole movie. One, shooting guns at children. That happens like 6 times, where we shoot guns at children. And then the second one is other fictional characters appearing.
Yeah, it's like a shout-out to another movie, even though...
It's not a shout-out to a movie. It's supposed to be a gag. It's not like somebody's like, oh, man, I really love Indiana Jones. You know what we should do? We should have a guy who, like, wears an Indiana Jones hat and sort of has that Han Solo, Harrison Ford, like, smuggy charm. That would be a shout-out to a movie. This one, they went, let's have Indiana Jones get hit by a bus and die. Hey, I love Wizard of Oz. How can we cram that in there? Let's have an old man... kill the Wicked Witch of the West with a gun.
Yeah, I love that there's the guns in the movie. They just, like, yeah, just shooting with reckless abandon in any which way.
So these kids arrive at camp. The driver gets off the bus, and we see that he was a blind guy the whole time.
Oh, wait. Do you get it?
Oh, I get
okay,
it.
It's a blind guy driving
a bus.
That's funny.
I got
That's
it.
Funny.
The kids are taken to their rooms. And their room is like a haunted house. It has spider webs everywhere.
I love the cobwebs look. It's just like, it's like, yeah, you walked into like, ooh, it's a, you know, the little haunted house and, you know, you go to.
Well, it gets worse because one of the beds has a dead body in it. And then they open up a chest and there's a vampire inside. I mean, like, some little kid is dressed like Dracula. And they open up a crate, and he, like, hisses and turns away from the sunlight because there's a vampire in this box.
Well, you know, they have to go to camp, too.
I guess, or whatever.
Should it really surprise you already at this point?
They all get issued these black and white striped prison uniforms.
You get it?
No.
It's like prison.
I've never been to a camp where they issued you a uniform.
I know.
They go, here are your clothes.
Yeah,
that you brought, because I'm assuming you brought your own clothes. That if they're issued uniforms, what are in all the bags they brought?
Games? I don't know.
They're duffel bags filled with clothes that apparently they are not allowed to wear.
Maybe they didn't know.
So while they're everybody's running around, the owner sees a little kid, and the little kid throws a brick at his head.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't shoot him.
Oh, he tries to in the next scene.
Yes.
He does that. So the three main kids use the coin-operated telescope inside their cabin.
Now, when I saw that, I immediately thought of you because I remember we've been together and you've discussed these all the time about people using those quarter like the telescopes on like the mountains.
Well, I hate them because they're useless. They put them on the side of a lake or some shit. And they're like, hey, 50 cents to see about 30 feet farther for 20 seconds. And you look through this thing, and then you just go, oh, yep, there's the lake, and I can't see anything because this is just a pair of binoculars that I had to pay $0.50 to use.
And
they're so stupid.
And of course, I love how they put it in the camp, like an extra money grab.
It's not only in the camp. It's inside a building. It's in their bunks. It's so stupid.
And the only place it looks is
across the river to the sexy girl camp. And here's what's funny. It's like, okay, this camp is for boys between the ages of 7 and 14. They say that. But the girls camp is for girls between like the ages of 18 and 39.
Well, like, I thought it was 16 to 18, they said.
They're so much older, though.
Of course. Every time we watch one of these movies, we're like, well, the girls that are 16 to 18 are 35.
But it's like in Screwballs, the boys were also 35.
Right.
In this one, the boys are 13-year-old boys. Like, they are actually boys, which makes it creepier when the movie happens later on. So then we cut to the villain of the movie, who owns the girls' camp and is also an evil land developer and wants to buy the boys' camp and turn it into a mall. Sound right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
That is correct.
This guy is also the actor who played the snooty principal in Screwballs.
They couldn't find another evil actor in Canada.
I don't think it's not that they couldn't find it. I think that they basically made a movie that was called the same thing, and they're like, let's just hire the same dude.
Yeah, well, it's not the same director, right?
Who cares? So, the land developer has a stupid son with a big, dumb, like, perm on his head, and he'll become, like, the comic foil or something.
Yeah, the blundering villain that can't get anything right.
So the owner of the camp then runs out of his office with a submachine gun chasing a kid, I guess to kill him.
Or just scare him, I don't...
No, because he shoots it! I'm pretty sure his plan is to kill this child.
And this is, you know, again, we're starting with the illegal activity is just the same as Screwballs.
Well, I mean, this movie bounds back and forth between kid summer camp movie, parody film, and just slapstick comedy. So it's not, you can't call out all of the illegal stuff in here because there's literally a dinosaur later. Like, you can't be like, oh, well, this wouldn't happen, because, like, no shit. At least in the other one, they're like, hey, we're a bunch of kids and we just want to get laid. Stupid stuff happened in that movie, but it was within reason.
And I it's interesting that the movie is rated PG. I think it should have been rated maybe PG-13.
Well, PG-13 didn't exist yet.
Really?
Yeah, okay. That rating didn't exist then.
That came in, what, the late 90s or early 90s?
No. It was in the mid-80s. Red Dawn, actually, was the first movie that was made PG-13.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, yeah, it would be PG-13, but, like, a really soft PG-13. Because as much as this is, like, a raunchy 80s kids boob comedy, there's no nudity in it.
No. And I don't think there's any cursing. I think the only time they curse, it's, like, mouthed.
Yeah, they just mouth it, and there's no cursing. Like, other than that, the only thing that would really make this movie be, like, a hard any kind of rating is that people smoke in it. Like, that's it. That's really the only thing that would drive the rating up of this movie nowadays.
And back then, smoking was healthy for you.
No,
I'm just kidding.
This isn't the 50s.
Yeah.
This is 1984. Like, we all knew. Like, it's not. And not even, people aren't even smoking that much.
No.
It's just when they go to the bar later so that 14-year-olds can drink beer and try to have sex with women.
Oh, my God. Sounds great.
So, as he's shooting this machine gun at this child to what I can only presume is murder him, he slips on a banana peel, fires the gun into the air, and this time he shoots down Mary Poppins out of the sky.
Oh, my God. Why?
Because it's a joke.
And I love anytime there's, like, a slapstick part, they have to play, like, a 80s cartoon sound.
Oh, yeah.
Like a Scooby-Doo episode. Stuff like that,
There's literally, like, people are sneaking around, and there's, like, bing, bing, bing. And they do that a lot. That happens at least every, 3 minutes?
Which, it confused me. I was like, is it a kid's movie? You know what I mean? Like,
This is a kid's movie. What are you talking about? It stars children doing goofy kid things. There's no nudity. There's no cursing. It's a kid's movie.
All right.
A dinosaur shows up later. Anyway.
Dinosaur.
So the owner's granddaughter shows up to help him run this camp. The new kid sees her and immediately falls in love with her. The owner... Oh, hey, Chewie! Sorry, I'm yelling at
my cat.
I'll
be right back, Ben. I gotta pee.
I just got a new cat.
I gotta pee.
Francis has to pee, everybody.
Sorry, don't
this
put that
is
in.
Where... No, we'll just put in the Hamburger Motion Picture theme song until you get back.
Okay.
And we're back. So while talking to his granddaughter, the owner stabs himself in the hand on one of those desk spike things.
I actually thought that was funny.
And it goes right through his hand. Like, also, I've never understood the point of those. Like,
who uses them? I've never seen anyone actually use them.
It's those things for, if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, it's those things that have a big, heavy base, and it is literally just a metal spike. And every time you're done with, like, a note on your desk, you're supposed to stab the paper through this desk spike. What is the point of it? What does that do?
The trash.
Right. Like, why do you have to create this stack of driven through paper? Like, I don't understand. Anyway, there's probably a reason nobody uses those anymore.
Yeah.
So then they have roll call at the boys' camp, and the owner just starts insulting these kids because he's just like a belligerent drunk.
He's like, and are you here? Yeah, well, I don't like you either.
Well, then there's this kid who's like, he's like the punk kid, and he's got like a mohawk, and he goes, hey, nice haircut. It reminds me of a whore I had once. And you're like, really, dude?
Like, you like, shouldn't say that.
You can't say that. So the owner leaves and goes to his cabin, and inside his cabin, there is literally an alien trying to use his phone to make a phone call.
Yeah, so we're getting the E.T. Reference here, or...
Yep!
E.T. Next time you're going to phone home, you got to ask me, and it might probably not in our area code or something like
that. And this guy... So it's like, in this world, this guy is, like, aware of this alien.
Probably should tell someone.
And it's been in there more than once to use his phone. Okay. So then there's a weird gag where this kid opens up the men's room, and it's filled with naked dudes. And then he closes the door, and he takes out a marker, and he writes W-O
women.
Next to men, so it says women. And then he opens the door back up, and it's filled with naked women, and he goes inside. And at this point, I'm like, is there magic in this movie?
You love that. You love the whole, is there magic in this movie?
Well, because if you are making a movie set in 80s Canada, I don't know, maybe there's magic up there. I've never been there. Maybe there's... But if you're setting a movie in a realistic situation, and then all of a sudden these crazy things start to happen, my first thought is always like, okay, so is there magic or what? And at this point, I didn't know. I didn't know that this movie was just going to be, like, wall-to-wall just goofy gags. Yeah. I should have, because we killed Indiana Jones, the Wicked Witch of the West, and Mary Poppins at this point. I should have put it together, but I guess I was holding out. So then the kids go to an aerobics class. This is the most offensive part of the movie. Go to an aerobics class taught by the most offensive gay stereotype I have ever seen. He is in all leather with chains.
Yep.
He's doing drugs in front of the kid and is also a pedophile because gay equals pedophile. So, that was the stereotype in the 50s. By the 80s, we were sort of trying to overcome that.
Yeah.
And this movie wasn't helping. So
we're trying, but they were trying to push us back into the dark ages.
So they do their aerobics so fast that this gay guy dies.
Yeah, I'm assuming from doing the drugs and then working out.
And probably just having an alternative lifestyle.
Yeah, that'll kill you.
That'll kill you. They do aerobics. This guy just dies. The owner comes out, covers him up with a blanket, and says, "Someone call me an ambulance." And then all the kids say, "You're an ambulance." That made me chuckle a little.
So, and again, here we go with another camp movie we watch where this is camp is over.
Oh, well.
No, the PTSD has probably set in, you know.
Well, I mean, not camp is over, like... Camp, this guy's killed three people already.
Yeah, exactly.
Camp has been going on for an hour, and he's killed three fictional characters.
Not to mention, is he drunk through the entire movie? Is there ever a scene
he's
not?
Yes, he's always slurring his words, or also drinking.
Right.
So, back at the fancy girls' camp / land developer's home, the son is waiting to talk to his dad, and he has a polo shirt on. With a giant plastic alligator pinned to it, because this movie just does not let up on the jokes, man. It is just firing on all cylinders. Bang, bang, bang.
Supposed to be an Izod shirt.
Yeah, but it's got a giant... And, like, okay, you're going to make this gag, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to make this in a movie, you have him wearing what looks like an Izod shirt with a giant alligator on it. And you leave it at that. Because that's the joke.
Yeah, but they can't leave it go.
No, they go, well, that's not exactly what I meant when I said wear an alligator shirt when I was teaching you about fashion. We got it. We get the joke, dude.
They have to shove it down in your face. In case you didn't catch this.
You make a visual gag because it's a visual gag. You don't make a visual gag and then break it down for me. So be like, oh, it's a brand of shirt, and he's wearing it because the thing is bigger, and that's funny. Aha! That's terrible writing. This movie is written terribly.
And with there's no coherence to anything. Nothing, like we were saying before, no scene transitions to the next.
And like you said, you told me earlier, each scene is only about 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
This movie transitions from scenes like somebody shows up, does a funny gag, somebody reacts, next scene. Somebody shows up, says something stupid, people react, next scene. Like, we just fly through this, and it goes nowhere at a million miles an hour.
Yeah, and that's what bothered me about it. That's why I had a hard time finishing. It was because I couldn't, there was no way to get into it at all, just because each scene, it's so compartmentalized that it's impossible to watch and take seriously at all.
So the land developer, the evil land developer, tells his stupid son to go woo the granddaughter and marry her before the end of the summer so that he has the rights to the land.
I don't think that really makes much sense, but...
It's also a terrible plan.
If we're going to have the evil overlord, at least have him have a better villainous plan.
Well, Well, I mean, he's got the pretty standard 80s plot, like somebody wants to shut down the camp or the car wash or the school or whatever, and we all have to band together. But we don't even band together till the last 10 minutes. Like, this is like, all he wants to do is buy this camp, and the boys' camp isn't even aware of this plan for 90% of the movie.
Not till right at the end.
So there's not even conflict. Like, they're not even like, well, we have to get our bake sale up, or we have to win the swimming contest, or we gotta do pranks. They don't even know that this is happening. So the camp portion is just kids going to camp.
Yeah.
Like, normal.
Yeah, they're not worried. They're not worried it's gonna get shut down. The owner doesn't have any, you know, has no idea that, and actually, he probably wouldn't even mind if someone wanted to buy it.
He does it because he does sell it to the dude
later on, yep.
So the new kid is also flirting with the granddaughter, because that's actually the only, like, cute part of this movie you could even call real part.
Yeah, and how old is she supposed to be?
She's like 18 or something. He's like 13. He's got a crush on her. And they don't even do it creepy. Like, he doesn't sneak into a room smell her panties.
No, it's not that bad.
He helps her carry stuff from her car, and he's like, oh, you know, you're kind of pretty. And then he runs away, and he's all nervous. And you're like, oh, okay, this is played.
13-year-olds do.
Right, this is played normal.
Right.
So while all of the kids are in their room, a guy kicks the door down and fires a gun into the room, and then tells the kids dinner's ready.
It doesn't make any sense.
So it is, of course, gross, and the lunch ladies are dumping piles of green mush onto their plates using their bare hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's always a camp movie trope, too, that the food is awful.
The food is awful, but generally it's a gag where you have this big, gross ladle, and it's just this slop on top of a plate.
Right.
These women are just scooping stuff with their hands and, like, just squeezing it onto a plate.
Yeah, I was pretty disgusted.
So, at the dinner, the main counselor introduces everybody. He introduces the boobs of the movie, who is being played by the camp nurse, who is basically just wearing a Halloween sexy nurse costume. Also, he tells them all that later tonight, we'll be watching a porno.
Well, he calls it a stag film.
He calls it a stag film, which is old-timey jargon for porno. But you're right, we have to say stag film because that's the joke.
Well, hopefully you'll get it.
But he's like, all right, everybody, later on tonight, we're going to go to the main hall and watch a porno. And I'm like, what are you even talking about? And all of these kids start cheering, which, I mean, they probably would.
Why not?
Most of them anyway. But, like, it's not even like, oh, well, it's in secret. We got to do it. It's on the schedule of events for the day.
And he asks the granddaughter to go get one.
And she's like, okay, I'll go get the stag film.
And you're like, what?
So we cut to the main hall where they're all going to watch this, quote, stag film. But the granddaughter bought it, so it's a movie about an elk. Oh, boy.
The stag. Yeah, not
that.
And they're all like, what?
But that doesn't change the intentions of the other guy who was hoping it was a porn.
Yeah, and we'll get more on that later with him.
So, while this movie is playing, the three main boys, are going to sneak out, cross the river in a canoe that they're going to steal to get to the girls' camp.
Quote, unquote, this river.
Well, yeah, it's a river.
Yeah, well, not later on when we see what they're trying to cross.
This entire scene is filmed at night with zero light, and you literally can't see anything.
I think you can barely see their figures at all.
I thought the video stopped.
Oh, really?
Because you can't see anything, because it's pitch black, but the camera's on. It's not even like it's a gag where there's like a cartoon eyeballs.
No.
They turned the camera on and said, film this nothing.
Just have them talk.
So they go to the river, they go the wrong way, and they fall down in Niagara Falls, because I guess it's on the border.
Yes, so we're going for that, more north towards Ontario, I guess.
Then they help the new kid fake an injury so that he can see the boob nurse, who makes him take his pants off, grabs his dick while he is staring at her boobs, makes him cough, then he gets a boner, which she is holding, by the way. And then she just rushes him out of the office.
When I thought she was checking him for a hernia. That was like the whole thing.
That's what you thought? Did you honestly think that,
well,
Francis?
Well, she has him cough. I figured, you know.
You really thought that?
No, not really. I thought that's what the movie was trying to portray.
No.
No. No.
No. Oh, no. So the evil land developer and his stupid son go to talk to the granddaughter. Oh, no, no. It's just the son. So the son goes to talk to the granddaughter, but the alligator on his Izod shirt suddenly becomes real, wiggles into his pants, and he runs away screaming.
And that's supposed to be funny.
Is that supposed to be magic? Because it was a rubber alligator before, and now it's alive.
I think it was originally supposed to be alive.
But it's, what ever made you think before that it was alive?
I didn't. I'm just saying that at this point, I guess, they were saying, oh, well, all along it was alive.
I'm calling magic here.
It has to be magic.
Then the main counselor says they won't be doing their daily fitness class. Instead, he turns it into a class on how to pick up women. And he sells all of these kids books on how to pick up women.
What's the book called? How to Pick Up Chicks?
Yeah, it's not even clever. So the owner is in his office, and a kid throws a grenade into his office. He panics, picks it up, throws it out the window. It lands in the stupid son's car. The son panics, runs into a truck, and it explodes. That goes nowhere. That's just a gag that happens.
And how is he not dead?
Well, because he's a cartoon man. The three boys then try again to cross the river on a homemade sailboat so that they can put bump and grind music, and that's in quotes, into the girls' boombox, because every morning they do stretches to classical music. And their plan is that if they put in sexy music, that they will then stretch sexy.
It's a pretty bad plan.
And then they don't make it across the river because they're stopped by a Jaws gag.
Yeah, and in a river.
A shark shows up and attacks them, which they then kill off screen?
they harpoon it? Or
they kill it.
Yeah.
But okay, so then the next morning, a kid goes to the owner's office dressed as Groucho Marx, this is where you get that key word, complaining that he hasn't been laid since he got to class. Then the owner fires a gun at him, the kid runs away, as does that gag and that character.
Yeah, again, a scene where everything just breaks down immediately after.
Oh yeah, a scene starts, it's 30 seconds long, the gag happens, as soon as the gag is over, the scene is over, and it is if that thing or event never happened.
And it's like, how the good thing is, like, you could never forget your lines in this movie with how short the scenes are, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, all you have to do is, like, the dailies must have been on Post-it notes.
Yeah.
Like, here's the two things you say.
And like you said, it probably was shot in a week.
So then this is supposed to be a joke. Like, out of all of these things where it's like, is this a joke? Is this a parody? Is this a whatever? This is supposed to be a joke. And oh boy, does it not land. So the tax collector shows up to the office to tell the owner that he's like has 1,000 years of back taxes that he has to pay. Oh, let me go back. Before the scene starts, before she enters the door, we just see the door, and these words pop up that say, "This part of the movie is for film students only."
Oh boy.
Then she comes in, she starts saying her thing, and he starts responding. But every time they speak, there are subtitles which are saying, like this whole other plot about losing a sibling who died, and it's like a melodrama, but written in these subtitles.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be super funny.
It is.
And it's definitely.
Because then the characters notice the subtitles. They acknowledge the fact that there are subtitles that are saying things that they're not saying, and then the woman gets insulted and slaps him and leaves. Because, not of what he's saying, but because of what the subtitles said that she can read. And it's like, and that was my reaction, too. I just went like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it did say only for art students or whatever.
I mean, when we're running around trying to see girls, or when we're shooting guns at kids, even like I get it. Like, it's stupid, but like, I get what we're doing.
Right.
Like this, I'm like, they wrote this and they're like, this is gonna be hilarious.
And this will make it the whole film. Everyone, if anyone laughs at anything, this will be it.
Oh yeah. This will be it. When people talk about this movie in 28 years, this is going to be the movie that they talk about. This will be the scene they talk about. And it falls so flat.
Yeah, I was.
It's like it's embarrassing.
Yeah, how did it even, first off, how did they let it get in? How did they let it? They said they thought this was the highlight.
Because they thought it was hilarious. And I mean, when you say how did they let it get in,
exactly.
this movie didn't go through no studio process.
Yeah,
they made this movie, and like whoever financed it wrote it and made it.
Yeah, it's a doozy.
So then the stupid son finally talks to the granddaughter, but while doing so, his car rolls into the river and he gets a face full of mud. Ha ha! The stupid son then buys some cologne to seduce the granddaughter, but instead of running into her, he is attacked by a bear costume.
Yeah, and there's a couple of scenes with animals like that where you're just like, it's not even an animal.
No, it's like there's a bunch of scenes. It's in the background of a bunch of parts of this movie, and I don't know why. It's a cardboard cutout of a cow. And at one point, somebody says something, and they cut to the cow, the cardboard cow, for a reaction. And the cardboard cow rolls its eyes.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, just like the sounds, just like the cartoon sounds. It's just all out of ridiculous, out of this world. I mean, and the sounds is what made me, I couldn't even deal with it.
Like, I could deal with the sounds. Like, you can have a goofy movie like this where you do those sounds, especially if it's a kid's movie, where you can do those sounds and have them make sense. But, I mean, the next gag is a kid lighting a bush on fire. And an old Jewish man dressed like Moses, holding the Ten Commandments, comes out of a tent and sees the burning bush. What is that for?
And again, nothing, no progression toward that. It came out of nowhere and it went to nowhere.
And I'm like, the gags that are happening in the owner's office where he's throwing a grenade and shooting stuff. At least that has to do with the camp.
No,
has nothing to do with anything.
No, and it then ends again, and nothing happens.
So the boys then sneak back to the girls' camp again. They finally make it there this time, and they're going to swap the tapes, but they're also going to see if they can see naked ladies. So they get to the place where they're all sleeping, and the girls are like, "Okay, everybody, time to go to sleep," and they turn the lights off. And the boys are like, "No, no, they can't turn the lights off yet. We haven't jerked off in the bushes." And so they reach in and they turn the lamp back on. The girl's like, "Huh, we turn the lamp back on." And they reach in, they turn it off. And we do this like three times until the new kid gets up to turn the light back on. And he accidentally grabs a boob. And then the girl screams and they all run away in fear. But their plan was successful because the next morning, the girls turn on their boombox. Sexy music comes out.
Booty dance.
They all look at each other and go, "Okay." And then they just start sexy dancing.
Why?
because it's like, this is the only part of the movie where I'm like, "Okay, this is the boob comedy part."
Right.
These boys then line up at the pay telescope inside their camp, their cabin, and they just start watching these women sexy dance.
Boy.
So the granddaughter, again, this something that happens goes nowhere. The granddaughter hires a martial arts instructor to teach the kids karate. He's just some Japanese guy. He comes in, he does a bunch of backflips or whatever. Then he goes to meet the owner. He shakes the owner's hand, and there's a Godzilla gag where he's talking, but they've dubbed over what he's saying, which would be a gag, right?
Yeah,
that would be
sure.
Like, especially then when those, you know, we were making those pretty frequently. But it's not. He's talking, and then he goes, "Hi, nice to meet you. I will be the martial arts instructor." They dubbed over him with, "Hello, sir. I will be your karate teacher." Come on.
Why does it have to be so bad? Like, why does it have to be over the top?
Why are you double downing on the same joke?
Right.
You either, one, have him dubbed, and it's clearly not his voice.
Right.
Or you have him come up. And he talks like a fucking yellow-faced minstrel character. You don't do both. It doesn't make sense to do both.
Because you wouldn't. It would. You know, you have him speak English like a normal, you know, English-speaking person.
Or you make him sound silly.
Right.
You don't dub him over and make him sound silly. That's just stupid.
Overkill is the word. Yeah.
But then we never see that guy.
Nope.
He never teaches a class. We never have any issues with him. The camera cuts, and I think he just disappears from the camp. He fades into non-existence, because in this movie, if you're not one of the main characters, once your scene is over, you cease to exist.
You're not at the camp anymore.
you just aren't real anymore. So at the How to Pick Up Chicks class, the counselor tells that he will take these children to a singles bar to actually try to pick up women. So then we cut to this singles bar called Meat Rack, which is doesn't even make sense.
Meat Rack.
Meat Rack. That sounds like a shitty steakhouse. Not a singles bar. Meat Rack? Like, I get, like, the rack part is like a boob pun,
yeah.
But what is the meat part for?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Like, if you're going to make a boob joke, just call it racks or, like, big stacked rack or something. Meat racks?
Juggers, you know, something, you know.
Juggers? That was the best one you could come up with? Or come on down to Juggers. Juggers. So, for some reason, this is also the longest scene in the movie. I don't know why.
Was it 2 minutes?
It might be, but there's no other scene that goes on this long.
Right, you're
this
right.
This one just keeps going. So they go to Meat Racks. The kids are wearing, because it's the kid with the mohawk who sniffs glue and passes out, so he doesn't go inside. the beret wearing French Canadian black kid and the fat kid. So basically, it's the black kid and the fat kid who are wearing wigs and mustaches. They go inside. And he tells these children to find drunk girls because they will do anything.
They're more easy.
They all get beers because I guess you don't card in.
Well, they have, you know, the
Canada
wig and mustache, of course.
Of course. Oh, you got a mustache. You have a mustache, 13-year-old looking person.
I think the drinking age in Canada is only like 16 or
Francis,
17.
Francis, it's not 13.
No, of course not.
So then the counselor goes to try to pick up a girl, and he gets slapped in a comical way where he flies all the way up to the balcony. So the fat kid is sitting at a table drinking, like, 12 beers.
He'd be dead.
But they don't do anything in this, which is good, because nobody actually, has sex with a minor,
right.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Not like the last movie.
Where that was rampant.
Yeah. Like, these kids are still portrayed as kids. Like, he dances up to a girl, and he's like, hey, are you busy tonight? And she's like, no. And he's like, okay, just checking, bye. like, that part actually made me laugh a little bit. but then they're sitting at this table. This guy's getting drunk. The French Canadian kid is lighting this woman's cigarette. And they both actually find women who are willing to have sex with them.
That's interesting too. I was watching it with my wife, and she was like, "I can't believe that this is a thing in this movie."
Well, but they get scared because they're 13-year-olds.
Right.
They react appropriately. They go, "Oh my god!" and they leave. And you're like, "Okay, at least this movie isn't that bad."
Yeah, they didn't. They weren't like, "Hey, we'll take them home tonight and get it on."
Yeah, exactly. You could have cut to the next morning where these two kids are like smoking a cigarette in bed because they fucked some stranger, but. This movie has at least that much dignity?
I suppose, yeah. I mean, yeah, if that happened, you know, I mean, I'd say that would be crazy and ridiculous, but Screwballs was like, well, whatever, I guess anything could go in these Canadian boob comedies.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, back at camp, the new kid is trying to flirt with the granddaughter again. He tries to kiss her. Doesn't go over well, but they make up and they become friends. Then all of the kids see the stupid son flirting with the granddaughter, and it doesn't work, and he leaves. So the kids decide to follow the dude on these bikes that just appear. They haven't had bikes up until this point. Nobody has been on a bike up until now. These three kids go, look, 3 10 speeds, just our size. And they just hop on these bikes.
And you wouldn't think they would have the budget based on this camp for even a bike.
Well,
I don't know.
It's not even... They don't even go like, oh, thank God the camp's bikes are here.
No, they
just
have them.
Cut to next scene, they are on a bike.
Mm.
And they follow this guy to the Evil Land developer's house. On bikes, by the way. Why are they trying to cross this river every night when they can get there by foot or these bikes? So they get there and they hear his plan, which is to drug the granddaughter at this dance they're having the next night. Then drag her away, legally marry this unconscious woman, And then they're just like, and then we'll have the camp. Like, no, that won't get you the camp at all.
That's not how inheritance and or like properties like, work.
Yeah, the other guy is still alive, plus who knows if he's even given this camp to anybody. So, cut to the dance, which has girls at it for some reason. Like, the whole thing is that the girls are over here, and the boys are over here, and the boys are having a dance. And then there's a bunch of girls at this dance. Where are they from?
I mean, I guess you would say they're from the other camp, but they're, like, so much older, so you wouldn't think they would do that.
And they never say that.
No.
Like, they're never like, hey, the camps are getting together. They're just like, the boys' camp's having a dance. Also, there's, I guess we bust in a bunch of hookers or something. So, the land developer is there trying to get in good with the owner, and it, like, works, but, like, not.
It's awkward.
The owner steals the evil land developer's wallet and takes all his money. Then there's this... I don't know what the fuck this was.
Is this like the animals that you're...
Yeah, what the fuck was this about?
A separate scene that makes no sense, where he's just trying to get money, I guess.
The owner goes up to little kids and says, hey, I need you to run out and get me a dog. I don't care where you get it.
Steal it.
Like, right. And then he tells like another kid, I need you to run out and get like another cute animal. I don't care where you get it. He takes these animals. He goes up to women, convinces these animals that they are talking animals, then sells them to these women for $1,000. What the fuck is this about?
Again, it just doesn't have any relevance because he just loves money or wants...
But at this point, the movie's almost over. We only got like 15 minutes left.
They're trying to put a new thing in. You're like, wait, what? Why is this starting?
And it's never like... At any other point, he is portrayed as a con man or a swindler.
No, he's just a drunk.
He's just a drunk, and then all of a sudden he's like, time to grease some palms and like get this old con out. And like, also, who are these women who are walking around with $1,000 of cash?
Cash, yeah, it's like straight keys, like, ooh, greenbacks. And he's just like...
And then half by the time the scene transitions, half the women in this room are holding animals that they think talk.
Yeah, and then, nothing became suspicious, like, they're not talking anymore,
No. So then, before the stupid son and the evil land developer can institute their plan, they say their plan out loud over the intercom so that everybody can hear them. They're like, oh no, they're trying to steal our property. So the owner goes out there, punches the son, but then sells the camp anyway. Like, he punches the son, and then he's like, so you want to buy my camp? How about $500,000? The other guy's, how about $300,000? He's sold!
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think he punches the son because he's making moves on his, daughter.
That's true. He punches the son because he's being a real weirdo.
Or granddaughter, excuse me.
Oh, that's right, granddaughter. So... The kids rush out because they're all happy because they think he turned it down. They're like, thanks for saving the camp, whatever your character's name is. And he goes, oh, sorry, kids, but I sold it. And they're all like, oh, we're sad. Cut to the next morning. He has a change of heart. And at breakfast, he's like, I decided not to sell it. And everybody claps.
What did you expect?
Yeah, but I mean, it was like instant.
Yeah, there was no, I need to mull over it a little bit. You just...
Right, so he rips up the check, calls the evil land developer, is like, I'm not selling the camp, deal's over. And the stupid son is like, oh no, he's going to go to the ceremony to announce that he is going to build a mall at that camp. And there's like this weird time limit now, because if he announces that he's building this mall, somehow it then becomes legally binding.
Yeah, it's not like no money has been exchanged.
Nobody signed anything.
No.
There's been no witnesses. They literally talked behind a cabin in the dark.
and the check. It was like he could have taken that check and cashed it and been like, man, I never signed anything saying that was for the...
Exactly. And they're like, oh no, if he announces it and the camp's not sold, then our company goes under. And you're like, but how does that make any sense? Like,
Well,
that's what's happening on their side. They're like, oh my God, we're going to lose our company if he makes that announcement and we haven't sold it. And the other people are like, the boys' camp is like, we have to stop him before he makes that announcement, because if he makes that announcement, then he legally owns the camp, I guess.
And that's not how it works.
Well, not only is it not how it works, both sides believe the opposite thing. Which one is true? So the son decides he's going to kidnap the granddaughter and hold the camp for ransom. So he gets a gun, because everybody's got a gun in this movie, and he kidnaps this woman. The owner and the kid see this. They get into a beat-up car, and there's a stupid car chase. I skipped the whole thing. There's a gag with a cop who's got a siren on his head, and his motorcycle's flipping all over. It's stupid. Then we get to the mall announcement ceremony just in time before he declares the mall or whatever.
Or whatever.
And then they crash into it and they go, I decided not to sell the camp because that would be taking advantage of you people. So why don't we just trade camp so we have the camp at the fancy girl place and you can have the boys camp. And they say that.
And it's legal. That's it. That's binding.
Right. Right. Exactly. The land developer is like, oh no, he's really got me bent over on this deal. Like, just be like, no.
You can't just say it and it happens. It's not how it happens.
And, but he is reacting as if, oh no, everything he's saying right now is now true. Like, just don't do it.
Be like, yeah, that's not a good deal for us. So don't you just, you know, go home.
But they said it out loud, so it is now legally binding, and then cut to the next scene. It's the last day of camp, and everybody goes home. Everybody's leaving. The new kid goes down to the beach to see the granddaughter one more time and goes like, I'm sorry, I was kind of a weirdo. And she's like, oh, it's okay, you weren't that much of a weirdo.
And they have a little
and
kiss.
Then she,
so like a little
and she
peck,
kisses,
yeah,
a little tiny peck, and he's like, oh, bye-bye, and he's all happy that he got kissed, and he runs away. And it's kind of a sweet moment on this actual story that this movie had that was kind of normal and interesting. And then right after we have that actual sweet moment with that actual part of the movie that seemed real, the granddaughter sits down with the grandfather and goes like, oh, well, we have that new camp, but do you think they'll actually build a mall here? And he goes, oh, no, the so-and-so came out and said you can't develop here because there's an endangered species, but I've never seen it. Cut to a dinosaur running through stock footage of another movie that they bought, mm-hmm. and the land developer and the stupid son running away from it. Credits.
What a movie.
It had aliens and dinosaurs and boobs, kind of, and Niagara Falls.
So you know what, if you say all that, it sounds great.
Well,
if you just go by what you just said, but yeah, if you watch,
well,
it, you'll see.
Why don't you give us your review and your rating?
And what are our ratings again?
The rating system is, I hated it, it's a good hangover movie, it's a good party movie, or it's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, I just hated it. Because there's no, I mean, if you want to know exactly what, you know, this movie is a hot dog's about, this is exactly what we're trying to get at with this kind of movie. There's no coherency between any of the scenes. None of them are longer than 30 seconds, except the one bar scene. The characters aren't lovable. Nothing makes sense. Like we talked about, like the binding contract. It's just a mess. It was poorly filmed. The sound is terrible. The acting is bad. And it's just, I wouldn't even watch this. I couldn't watch this on a hangover because it would probably make me even more sick. And I would never show this at a party because I'd be embarrassed to show my friends it. And that's what I think of it.
Okay. So I'm so reluctant to rate this movie. Because I can't say I hated it, because I know what it was trying to be. It wasn't trying to be a work of art. It was trying to be a goofy, silly, dumb comedy. And it was that. Emphasis on the dumb, but it, you know, it accomplished what it needed. I can imagine, maybe more so in 1984 as opposed to today, but I can imagine a 13 to 16-year-old buying this, renting this at the movie theater, at the Blockbuster, taking it home, watching it, and enjoying it. It's just a stupid thing that has a bunch of stupid gags in it, and it's goofy. And I can sort of see that its audience of the time would appreciate this. So I can't say I hated it. It is not my favorite movie of all time, so I can't say that. So I don't want to say it's a good party movie, because it's not like, it's not, because there's not enough, like, what's the term I'm looking for? I don't know. It's not, like, user-friendly enough for it to be, like, a talkover movie. Because it's not like, oh my God, can you believe that they screwed up the lighting here, or they had that terrible effect. Like, everything that's being done in this movie that's bad is being done on purpose. So it's hard to call it out for that. If I have to give it something, I'll give it a Hangover movie. And I mean, that's like, if you got nothing else. Like, if this is all you got, go for this. Because I can't, in my conscience, I can't give it, I hated it, I just can't. And it wasn't great, but I'll give it a Hangover. Yeah. I'll give it a Hangover movie if I have to give it something. But
so one step up.
One step up. So I will recommend it with that stipulation. You, on the other hand, hated it, and you owe us a movie suggestion.
Oh, is that how it works now?
That's how it's worked since the beginning!
I didn't know that. I didn't know we had,
But are you awake every week?
You know, sometimes I am.
Okay, anyway, give us a movie suggestion.
Boy, I can't even think of anything that would compare to this to even suggest.
What was a movie that you watched when you were that age that was similar to this, or a movie that was just fun for you then, but
watch,
you think is dumb?
Ernest Goes to Camp.
Ernest Goes to Camp. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
that's
Ernest,
a good one.
That's a funny movie. You know, Ernest P. Worrell, awesome actor, very funny, and it's got a lot of Exeronius. It's got, you know, it's got the gags in it, you know, and it's just a better altogether put together movie. So
hey, I'll concede that.
There you go.
Okay. Well, if you guys want to send us any questions, comments, concerns, or hate mail, you can send those to us at moviehotdog@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at moviehotdog. We have a YouTube channel that's all updated again with all of our most recent episodes at Zach Space Hot Dog. If you follow us on Facebook, please comment and send us messages or suggestions. We always appreciate it. And if you don't like us on Facebook, this movie was a hot dog on Facebook. If you get this on iTunes or Podomatic, please rate and review and subscribe. It really helps the show. I'm done talking. Francis, do you have anything
to say? I got nothing.
Take us out.
And for Reverend Zach, this is Francis saying this movie was definitely a hot dog.